So consideration of edge may lead you to the point that all you want to develop in the end is edge. You don't want to develop area at all. We just came to that one. We put in ponds, banks on them, and we decided that the space that we weren't using was the area over the pond. So we didn't make our ponds too wide. We figured we would trellis pond tops, therefore take up no land surface whatsoever for trellis. That was one approach that was starting as soon as you guys leave. We're going to trellis the pond systems and the canal systems. Now, we had already discovered that all vines grew on water edges. Therefore, our root systems are here, our vines are over here. Now, the quality of air in here for vines is excellent because of the bulk of the water. We are not likely to frost, because the birds can't get them. And we can get them, and we can carry them in a small skiff, and I think we've been through that before, haven't we?
Yes.
Now, the other thing we did, we have thorn bushes, and we tried last year, we put six little passion fruit out on them, and two grew. Later we cut one off by accident while slashing along the edge. One's been a great success, so now this year we've set out 40 or 50 of them, and our motto is every thorn bush a banana passion fruit. That is, if you like, we'll use our existing trees as our trellis systems. We're going to extend that to tea tree and see what we get into the edge of the tea trees, because we've got 1,000 tea trees. Until we finished taking up the natural trellis system, We're going to start building some unnatural trellis system. But I hope that what we do then is put perhaps occasional blackwood in the trellis so that when the trellis falls down, we transfer the vines to the blackwood, because we found the blackwood a very good trellis plant. It's a nitrogen fixer, and it seems to... Vines seem to bear extremely well in blackwood. So... there's a hole in our system which you're just starting to think about filling. The water surface, we have got into a sort of a clover called a zola. It's now become a general manure producing surface for us, and so on. So we'll have a look at little bits of this. But it's quite good fun sitting out there and thinking what you might do next. Suddenly you see a hole. Right. Well, when you proceed to fill that hole, you might end up that you have an acre of something and you didn't really ever go to an acre. It was already standing in front of you in the same system. That additional acre was already there. So the other thing you can say about yield is it's the number of things you can fit into your system that'll give you yield. And of course many of those are beneficial to the others. At least they're not... our thorn bushes don't bear any less berries for the chickens because we've got passion fruit in them, and the passion fruit add to the chicken fodder. So you might get plus pluses coming out of it.
When you talk about these paths,
on your path. Your path itself becomes productive. In fact, it is with white clover out here, and white clover seems to be stand any amount of walking on, and it's a good forage for ducks and geese, and so the path is not necessarily out of production. Lipia canescens, which is a high quality bee forage, it's an excellent path plant.
What was that?
Lipia, L-I-P-P-I-A.
What's crimson clover, Bill, if I see a marker and I couldn't find much information.
On?
Crimson clover.
Well, it's a more of a sort of a bog clover. You get it through wet bottom land.
It looks like clover, big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
red big clover. Long red. The strawberry clover, which is another one, red clover. Crimson, thing called cowgrass, another one. You'll see a lot of them around this town if you keep your eyes open, sticking in little corners, all of them really.
The home production being pollinated by the
pathway. Yeah, well of course the pathway are ideal flight lines for your bees. That apart from the only way they can access systems in windy weather. Well, now you're talking. If you really get it right, it is plus, 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 plus. Righto. So, and then of course we could pull us over the paths if we ever get stuck. Okay.
Grow something there.
Yeah. Okay, now I don't know what understanding that gave you. Well, what I've tried to do here is link the landscape, the patterns of systems. Now the other application of pattern is in water flow. And we'll go into hydraulics perhaps in this course, perhaps not. But the applied hydraulics of water flow is nothing but correct patterning. And just to take one example for you, if that is a stream or a stream section, of course it wouldn't be like that, it would be like that. Stream's flowing this way and you fix a round post in the stream, maybe two, have a bridge across the stream. The water flowing past the post will take up this pattern. Pattern you see, that's the basic pattern of the Celtic twining beasts and so on. Actually these are slightly off path, they're slightly skewed, right? They're not dead equal across. Below the water the pattern is of that nature. Well, the surface remains pretty well the same. Each of these are a small hydraulic jump. The water's raised like that. Now that pattern has been taken by Emerson College, which is the Steiner College, and developed into a sculpture, which is just the shape of that pattern, below and the plan and the section, and it's called a flow form sculpture or flow form, and this is the most efficient oxygenating fall through system that has I think been devised, and it's usually set up as a set of these, each one of which lips over into the next, and about eight of those will re-oxygenate a stream. Also form a nice fish ladder, the ideal fish ladder, because it constricts the flow for the fish to leap into, and the standing wave is where they leap from. They leap from this wave. Pardon?
There's one operating in Sydney.
Right. For what reason?
Experimental work.
For oxygenation of stream, or is it what's it oxygenating or
purification of water?
So these are available, and this is applied pattern. You take a pattern that has a natural and a universal occurrence, and you shape something, and then you put water through it. It's sort of thinking backwards. Water shows you that pattern. You put water through the pattern.
Chaos, and it's written by Theodor Schwenk.
Swinky. There's about 8 very good books on form, pattern, growth. There's one called Form and Growth, Sensitive Chaos, so on and so on.
With that thing you've got there, you have to be careful with the pole, because otherwise you go up with shapes and events. Because that flow is one of the things in the end of things, so there must be a sort of minimum. There must be a precise pole that you couldn't use.
Maybe we don't use a pole at all unless we want to oxygenate a low oxygen stream. What I'm pointing out is that the pattern, the easiest way to see the pattern is to stick a pole in and watch what happens, and you will see the pattern evolve for you. Notice that the pattern is half the general model. And the only reason it's half the general model is that you generated it in a flow. Now, what you won't find in Swinky or Sensitive Chaos or something is any sense of a general model. What you've got here is a particularly interesting part of the general model. Let's go back to the general model. You have the involution of the margin of the model. And what you're drawing, what you're building or doing is half the general model. In the case of flow form, a sagittal half as well. So you cut the apple core into quarters and set up the system.
Go back to the landscape, new patterns. Also a general comment, Mr. Carter, the landscape of patterns.
The landscape is a series of portions of the general model, and it's transparently so. Also, if you're teaching physical geography, or indeed geography, which is nothing, geography as a science has never been defined, because geographers had problems with it. It is actually a study of particles in motion on surfaces. That's all it is. That can be molecules of air or water or people as migration or industry with its assembly points and its raw material gathering centres and its distribution centres. Now, if you're looking at location theory, or if you're looking at migration theory, or if you're looking at zonation theory, all you're looking at is one or other section of the general model. Right. And when we talk about zonation, as we will later, we're talking about a transverse section of the general model. But I point out what I think we may have done here. I hope I have done, but I find it very difficult to explain, is to give you a model by which you can think of all pattern in terms of a model. Very helpful to do that. Notice that even your involuted model tessellates. So on. It tessellates as well as a simple model tessellates. So then you'll find all flow, all art that is art with meaning, art and song, even dance of course is a mnemonic, harmonic. If you ever go out even today with a Hawaiian and you just made yourself a little paddy field for taro, we've got to seal the bottom of the paddy. So everybody puts their arms around each other and then we sing the little paddy field stomp song and we dance. And we stomp the paddy field. Well, it's much more interesting. It also teaches you what you're doing. And you have a little dance. And they call it a hula and do it in front of tourists and its meaning is gone. Lose your meaning. But every hula is the dance and the words are a work or a history harmonic. There is no such thing as song or dance divorced from a mnemonic. So modern song, modern dance, modern art should properly appear meaningless to you because it is meaningless. And there's no such thing as meaningless tribal art or dance or song. Even your own traditional songs and fairy tales. Before 1940, we danced about, I don't know, 40 or 50 village dances here at different seasons. Each of them were related to work. That's all disappeared. Ah, right. That's okay if what you want to oxygenate is a stream. Say you have polluted water issuing from a pipe. It's not going to make a stream, so you drop it through a flow form system. That's what it's appropriate to, the oxygenation of restricted flow from an orifice.
So it's that turbulence of water that is...
Well, you see one working, it's very interesting, because the flow from this section to that goes out first to that side, comes back, crosses the flow diagonally, knocks the stream across, and then the whole of the water goes over that side and back, so it does a figure eight through each form. It doesn't come down and go like that. It comes down, and because, as I said, those things are really off current, they're actually Ekman spirals, which is something we'll go into later. Not here, but we'll go into it in wind. The whole thing, as you watch it, the stream in each flow form is switching. Self-switching, so it's a beautiful thing to look at. And so far, its aesthetics are better measured than its effects. But it's interesting to see some of the photographs of flow forms in Sweden and Holland, where they come out into ice ponds, and you'll see the form go on in the ice. The ice is melted in terms of flow forms. So the stone pattern comes down and the ice pattern goes on. It's really, really quite interesting thing to see.
It's interesting talking about flow patterns in dance and build, because the basic dance step for most Middle Eastern Greek dancing is in fact a spiral that's reversing on itself.
Yes. It's also... It's fairly obvious that people everywhere over many ages have tried to understand nature in terms of patterns, and that their art has reflected that understanding, and that what we have seemed to have done is to see it only as decoration or motif, that we seem no longer to understand it in terms. And yet if you take an Aborigine to a Paiute area and show him the art, he will point to the water in the art. That is, there are such common forms that each of us understand. And go back to your symbols, and you can buy dictionaries of symbols. Now, say are simple symbols, you'll find that they are understandable in terms of single paths. Also, very interestingly, take that overturn. What does the overturn do? As soon as you get an overturn and a spiral, what happens now is the media, in this case air, and the media, in that case water, is included in a new mixture within the spiral. So now if you have oxygenated water, right? Now what that means is that the spiral really is where media are mixed. And that's when a wave breaks. What have we got on the beach? You can look out the window. There's water at the wave base, air above the wave. But at the overturn, we have an air, water, or bubble, foam mixture. And that is probably, you know, the basis of what this is about. And often you can look at events in a different way. Events, if you like, are attempting to reduce the differences in media. The difference between media is the stress that creates the surface on which the event takes part. Look how hard a tree tries to mix the air and the earth, the sun with the earth, and so on. The tree, and so every event you can look upon as a translation. What is the event trying to do? It's trying to translate the media one to the other. Water to land, air to water, and life forces are merely translation forces. Now, you can now restate all your early physics in terms of Pitjantjatjara physics. Take two statements. Einstein says the quantity of energy is constant. Well, not Einstein, but Einsteinian, actually not Einsteinian, but the basic laws of physics say the quantity of energy is constant. You can change it from one form to the other. You cannot create or destroy it, and it all entropy increases. Well, the Pitjantjatjara say the quantity of life is constant. It changes from one form to the other. You cannot create it or destroy it.